You are welcome again to our revival series. And in this series, as we have been saying, we are actually preparing ourselves, uprooting all that needs to be uprooted in order that God may have a heart where he can actually come and dwell. And in every revival, man pulls out, man cooperates with God by uprooting the things that need to be uprooted. And God, in response to a heart that is ready, will come dwell in that heart. And he will begin to use the man to do exploit through him. And in our sharing today, we will be looking at freedom from a divided heart. Freedom from a divided heart. And we shall start our sharing by looking at a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. So open with us to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Freedom from a divided heart. We'll be looking at what a divided heart is. We'll actually be seeing how one can set his heart free, become totally committed, so that God may take total possession of that man's heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. In other words, love the Lord your God with the totality of your being. And that's what God expects from us. That with the totality of our being, we should love him. We should follow him. We should serve him. God expects nothing less than our all. We'll look at some biblical examples of people whose hearts were totally committed to the Lord, because you cannot know about what a divided heart is unless you know what a heart that is fully committed to God is. Let's look at some examples in the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 2 Kings chapter 20, open with us to 2 Kings chapter 20, so that we can look together. One of the kings in the Bible, called King Hezekiah, that's one of the kings in the Bible whose heart was fully committed to the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 20. When King Hezekiah was sick, God sent the prophet Isaiah to him and told him, put your house in order. You are going to die. You will not live. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 20, from verse 3, let's actually start from verse 2. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Listen to his prayer again. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully. And I have walked before you with wholehearted devotion. That's what a heart that is not divided is. Faithful and with wholehearted devotion. He served God faithfully and with a heart that was totally given to God. We look again at the example of David in 1 Kings chapter 14. The example of David, we are looking at men in the Bible whose hearts were totally committed to the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 8. The Lord said, I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. But you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing what was right in my eyes. He said, David who kept my commands and David who followed me with all his heart. That's the opposite of a divided heart. All his heart. He followed the Lord with all his heart. And Hezekiah said, with wholehearted devotion. We look again at another example in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Another king who followed the Lord and served the Lord with all his heart. King Asa. Read, let's look at 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 17. He said, although he did not remove the high places from Israel, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord his God all his life. Asa's heart, he was not a perfect man, but the Bible says his heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. David followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Asa's heart was committed to the Lord totally all his life. And Hezekiah said, I have served you with wholehearted devotion. That is the type of heart that is totally committed to the Lord. That is not a divided heart. That's a heart that is surrendered. It's a heart that is consecrated. It's a heart that is fully in God's hand. An undivided heart is a heart that is totally consecrated to the Lord. It is a heart that is fully surrendered. It is given to one person and given to one purpose. And that one person is the Lord. And that one purpose is God's interest. A heart given to one person and given to one purpose. And that one purpose is the interest of the Lord. Is called a heart that is undivided. On the other hand, a divided heart is a heart that is not surrendered. It is a heart that is not surrendered. It's not consecrated. It is a heart that stands between two opinions. It is a yes and no heart. It is a heart that you cannot know to whom it belongs. It belongs to almost everybody and given to almost everything. The prophet Elijah had to confront the children of Israel in 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's look at it. So that as we are looking at a divided heart, listen to what this prophet said to the children of Israel. We are in 1 Kings chapter 17. Chapter 18. In verse 21, it says, Elijah went forward before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? I corrected myself. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 21, he said, for how long shall you waver between two opinions? That's what a divided heart is, wavering between two opinions, wavering between two opinions. And he told the people, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Make a choice, wavering between two opinions. From the moment you have decided to follow the Lord, if you truly believe that the Lord is God and he is your Lord and he is your King, follow him with all your heart. Unfortunately, these people, they were in between Baal and God, Baal and God, Baal and God. For how long shall you waver between two opinions? So a divided heart is a heart that does not want to abandon sin. It is a heart that is wavering between two opinions. It wants to follow the Lord, but it wants to continue in sin. It is a heart that wants to follow the Lord, but wants to love the world. It's a heart that is married, but still desiring other women outside. That's a divided and a confused heart. It's a heart that does not want to stand totally for the Lord. It's like the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they were constantly thinking about the food they used to eat in Egypt. The food they used to eat in Egypt. Just open your Bible with us to Hebrews chapter 11. You will see what was happening with these people along the way when they left Egypt. Their hearts were constantly in Egypt. And that is what a divided heart is. A divided heart, somebody has believed at a slight difficulty. I remember what I was as an unbeliever. I was not suffering the way I am suffering now. Even if it is a girl, I remember all the men that were in my life. They used to help me and do this to me. But now, as a believer, nobody is helping me. Your heart is divided. Or maybe you may never have actually gotten saved. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15, talking about the children of Israel and their divided-heartedness, he said, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. The children of Israel constantly thinking about the country they left. A person who is constantly thinking about his former life in unbelief and regretting that he actually abandoned that life, he will not continue in the faith unless he repents. Verse 16 says, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their father, for he has prepared a city for them. A person who is constantly looking back and regretting that you repented, you abandoned the life of corruption, you abandoned the life of immorality, God is ashamed of you. If they were constantly thinking of the country they left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Somebody with a divided heart will finally go back to the world unless he repents. So a person with a divided heart is in danger. He can backslide very easily. A moment came in the life of the children of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 16, if you open to us, we are trying to look at what is a divided heart. What is this divided heart we are talking about? We have said it is a heart that stands between two opinions. It wavers between two opinions. It cannot take its stand. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 to 16, listen to what Joshua said. Joshua told the people, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. He told the people, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. So they were still carrying some gods along with them. Joshua told them, throw them. And in verse 15, he said, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. He said, perhaps serving God is undesirable. Perhaps it's a burden to you. But he told them, choose today whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you are living, he said, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We have made a decision. We have a conviction. We are surrendered. We are committed to serve the Lord. But he told them, you better make a choice. We are asking you, have you made a choice to be totally given to the Lord and to serve the Lord with all your heart? Are you wavering between two opinions? Are you working in an office somewhere and somebody does not even know you as a believer because once in a while you compromise?
Are you hiding your salvation? Have you taken a stand that everybody, people know this person is somebody who is standing, totally committed to the Lord in an uncompromising way? He stands for the Lord, and if need be, he is ready to die for the Lord. Because in the world in which we are living today, there's a lot of believers, so many believers who are compromising just because they want to benefit here and there. A person with a divided heart is a compromising believer. He compromising his relationship with God. He cannot tell somebody the truth because he's afraid. If I tell this person the truth, maybe the benefit I would have gotten from him, I may no longer get. You are compromising your relationship with God, and you cannot stand and say, no, I belong to the Lord. In my office, I've declared it. In my business, I've declared it. In relationship with whoever I am relating with, I belong to the Lord, and I make it known to everybody that I belong to the Lord. A divided heart. A divided heart has not made a choice. As we have said, it stands between two opinions. There's an example of a king in the Bible. If you open with us to 2 Chronicles chapter 25, we'll look at a king called Amaziah. We have seen example of kings who followed the Lord with all their heart. Asa followed the Lord with all his heart. David followed the Lord with all his heart. Hezekiah followed the Lord with all his heart. We look at 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 2. Talking about Amaziah, he said he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. If it ended there, that would have been wonderful. But the next three words say, but not wholeheartedly. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So the actions were right. Somebody who is looking at it externally would have given him 100% score. But the Lord who looks at the heart knew that the man was not doing it wholeheartedly. And my brethren, God is looking at the heart. God is not just concerned with what men look at. Man looks at the heart, but God looks at the external. But God sees the heart, and God is asking, is this person doing it wholeheartedly? God is not just concerned with the right action we carry out. God is concerned with whether we are doing it wholeheartedly. Because a divided heart is an abomination to the Lord. Someone who has a divided heart. You want to share your heart with God and share the same heart with the devil. A divided heart is an idolatrous heart. Full of idols. The idol of these things have filled the heart, and you want the same heart to be shared between things and the Lord. What are the dangers of a divided heart? Because a person may be asking, oh, after all, what is it? If I have a divided heart, so what? The divided heart is an abomination to the Lord. Anybody with a divided heart, when God looks at you, you are a hater of God. In James chapter 1, we'll read from verse 6, looking at the danger, the tragedy of a divided heart. Talking about prayer, James said, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Actually, a divided heart is a heart that doubts God. Whenever you find yourself that you are constantly doubting God, it is because your heart is divided. When you ask, you must not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. He said the person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded, unstable in all they do. So a divided heart, a person with a divided heart is double-minded. He's unstable. How can God trust someone who is unstable? And a person with a divided heart, he says, you cannot receive in your prayers. You cannot receive answer to your prayer. You don't know this wholehearted devotion to
God. When God delays to answer you, you take the matter into your hands. And there are even moments you backslide to solve your problem before coming back to God. So a divided heart is a dangerous heart. It's a heart that will not receive answer to your prayer. It is a heart that is unstable. It cannot be trusted by God. It cannot be trusted by man. You cannot know that whether to put confidence in that person. That's what a divided heart is. So a divided heart is a dangerous heart. A divided heart cannot truly serve God. Somebody with a divided heart cannot truly serve God. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it very, very clear in Matthew chapter 6. A divided heart is unstable in all it does, all his ways. A divided heart cannot receive answer to prayer easily because it cannot stand firm and say, I have prayed, God will surely do it. A divided heart cannot truly serve God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, you will see it there. He said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So a divided heart cannot truly serve God. A divided heart will soon hate God. A divided heart will despise God. So the Lord Jesus Christ made it very clearly. You cannot have a divided heart and be able to serve God. So a divided heart is a tragedy. That is why we are studying it. How will God come to take residence in a heart that is divided, a heart that want to love him and want to love the world, they want to love him and want to love sin, want to love the things of the world, want to love him, a heart that is unstable. How can God trust such a heart? It is an unfaithful heart. And God cannot use anyone who has a divided heart in his service. It is when a man's all is put on the altar that the fire of God comes. For God to use a person, that person puts his all on the altar. And when a man's all has been placed on the altar, then the fire of God will come and consume his all. The anointing of God will take possession of that man, and God will begin to use that man. So someone who has a divided heart cannot be anointed by God. A person with a divided heart is useless in the hand of God. God cannot trust him. A person with a divided heart is an abomination before God. He is actually useless in the service of God. That's the danger of a divided heart. How does a divided heart come about? How do people begin to have a divided heart? We're going to look at some three ways by which the heart becomes divided, and there are many others. And the summary of it is that a divided heart is because the person wants to share his heart that ought to be totally surrendered to the Lord with other things. A divided heart is there because of idols in the heart. Anybody who permits other things in his heart to compete with God will have a divided heart. But there are means by which these idols, they come into the heart. Number one, your heart can become divided because people around you have turned your heart away from God to worshiping other gods. People can help you to turn your heart away from God. Let's look at the case of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11. Kindly open with us. I will look at how Solomon's heart became divided. 1 Kings chapter 14. Sorry. 1 Kings chapter 11, I'm sorry. In 1 Kings chapter 11, from verse 4, 1 Kings chapter 11, from verse 4 to 6, it says, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of his father David had been. So for here, we are seeing that Solomon's heart that was once devoted to God as the heart of his father David now have been turned away to following other gods. And how did it happen? His wives. So people can turn your heart, your wife, your husband, the people in your immediate environment, the people close to you can turn your heart after other things so that you become divided at heart. We should watch the type of people we keep in our immediate environment. They can turn you away from the Lord. So Solomon's heart was led away from God by his wife. It may be your friends. If you want to know a man, ask yourself, what are his relationships like? When you find a man who is fully given, the closest people he builds relationship with are the people given to sin, are the people given to the world, are the people given to compromise. You know that that person, even if his heart is single-heartedly committed to God today, tomorrow you will soon be seeing a person whose heart is divided. So Solomon's heart was turned away from God, became divided because of his wife. And he started worshiping all sort of gods. Because his wife came from all places, he worshiped gods, and he followed the Asherah, the goddess of the Sidonians, Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as his father David had done. He started worshiping all sorts of gods. We don't live to imitate others. We live our conviction, our commitment to the Lord. Number two, the mind can also, the heart can also become divided, led astray by the type of teachings you receive. We need to be careful the teaching we are receiving. We need to be very, very careful. What are some of the teaching? Who is your teacher? What is he teaching you? We look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So we are saying the teaching you receive, the person you are listening to, and the type of the spirit that the person has. There are those ministering the word of God, but they are trapped in worldliness. Their message is aimed at turning people's heart to worldly hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just listen to what Paul told the Corinthians. From verse 2, Paul said, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I may present you as a pure virgin to him. He said, I promise you. Paul had promised the Lord, Lord, I am going to present these people in this church to you. You will be their one husband. And I'm going to present to them as a pure virgin. But something went wrong. But Paul said, I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Your mind can be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. He said, if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach. So that's the problem.
What went wrong was the fact that Paul, in his commitment, told the Lord, I am going to present these people. You will be their only husband, and I will present them to you as pure virgin, totally unadulterated. There will not be people who are falling into the trap of the love of the world. But very soon, wrong teachers came and started preaching wrong doctrine. Just like today in our world, what the prosperity gospel has done in the life of people, so that people who once were following the Lord, serving the Lord, totally committed, loving the Lord and serving the Lord, today they are no longer serving the Lord out of love. They are serving the Lord to enrich themselves. They are serving the Lord to make a name for themselves. They have started following wrong teaching and copying wrong teachers, and as a result of that pure devotion they had, that single-hearted commitment they had to the Lord, is no longer there. You are never the same after you have listened to some teachers. It is a spirit. People trapped in the love of the world will lead you astray. So wrong teaching can get people's heart to become corrupted. Number three, your heart can also become corrupt. You can lose your single-hearted commitment to the Lord because legitimate things in your life, things that were legitimate, you have permitted them to now occupy your heart and become idols on your heart. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Things that are legitimate. It may be your job, it may be your business, it may be your marriage, it may even be your education. All these things are legitimate. There's nothing sinful about them. But if you are not careful, they can come, occupy the heart, so that they begin to compete with God in your heart. The heart can become corrupt when legitimate things have become God in the heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32. Paul was speaking here about marriage. What did he say? He said, I would like you to be free from concern. He said, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affair, how he can please the Lord. That is how what an undivided heart is, concerned about the Lord's affair, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord, both in body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. Get it? Nothing wrong with marriage, except that when the marriage came in, somebody who one was committed, how I will please the Lord, after a time, it is how I will please my wife, how I will please my husband. You can be married, and if that marriage is not consecrated to the Lord, very soon your passion is not the Lord. Your passion is not the interest of the Lord. Your passion is now how to please your husband. You can no longer pray, you want to please your husband. You can no longer serve the Lord, you want to please your wife, etc. The same thing with your business. You can get married and consecrate the marriage to God. And that marriage, instead of competing with God, become an instrument that you use it to serve the Lord, to worship the Lord. You can have a business and the business become a God on your heart, or you can have a business and lay it on the altar for the Lord, and that business can be used to serve the Lord. You can be a student and your studies become a God on your heart, so that your passion is not pleasing the Lord, but you start worshiping your study as a God. You can also be a student and you have laid your study on the altar, and as a result of that, you will never compromise in your relationship with God, and you will never compromise in your study. Your study becomes a weapon to be used to worship the Lord. So
you can compromise, your heart can become divided because people have drawn you away from the Lord, your heart can become divided because of wrong teachings, your heart can become divided because of legitimate things that you permitted carelessly to become idols. Anything that comes into your hand, place them on the altar. A new dress, you may soon start using, worshiping it. A new house, you start worshiping it. And that's why today, there are so many people, before they became rich, they worship the Lord, they follow the Lord with all their heart. But now that they are rich, they follow their money, they follow their cars, they are using their cars as something to worship and not something to serve the Lord. What is God's desire for his children? Does God want us to have divided heart? What is God's passion for every one of his children? We'll see it from the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, if you just open with us, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24, verse 7. Jeremiah 24, 7. What is God's desire for you and I? Does God want that divided heart, that idolatrous heart, that adulterous heart to just continue? Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. What does it say? It says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. So God's desire is that those with divided heart may return to him with all their heart. So God wants his people to return to him. And that's what his word says. He says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a right spirit within you. A person who turns to the Lord with that divided heart, God gives you a new heart. So the desire of the Lord is that his children may have a new heart. Let's look at Joel chapter 2, the book of Joel chapter 2. We are looking at what is God's desire for a person who has a divided heart. Should he just continue with his divided heartedness? The book of Joel chapter 2, we'll read from verse 12. He said, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God. He said, now. So God's desire is that even right now, as you are listening to us, wherever you are, right now, that you return to the Lord with all your heart. God wants all our heart, all our heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You are all on the altar for God. That is the desire of God. And here he says, even now, it is not a matter of tomorrow. It's not a matter of tomorrow. You don't tell God, God permit me to have a divided heart just for this year. Then next year, my heart will be fully committed. It's like a woman or a man telling the partner, just give me just one day. Let me go and sleep with other men. Or just give me just this 5 minutes. Let me go and sleep with other women. That's an abomination. To know that your heart is divided and God wants your heart to be totally committed to him, and you say, God, it is tomorrow that I will put my heart right. He said, even now, return to the Lord with all your heart. So God wants all our hearts. God wants us to return to him with all our hearts. The desire of the Lord is all our heart. He wants all our heart. If your heart is divided, he said you can do something. You can come back to him with weeping, with mourning. He says, even now, return to the Lord with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. It actually tells us one of the ways by which we can know freedom from a divided heart. And that's what we want to start looking at now. We have discovered what a heart that is fully committed to the Lord is.
We have discovered what a divided heart is, the danger of a divided heart. We have equally seen what is God's desire for us. What does God desire for us? God desires that we return to Him with all our heart. And a heart that once was divided and that has come back to God with all in totality is a heart that has known freedom from a divided heart, returning to the Lord so that God may have the totality of your heart is what is called freedom from a divided heart. So now that we know what a divided heart is, now that we know what God wants, now that we know that God does not want us to continue to have that divided heart, the question is, do we still want to continue having a divided heart, this abomination before God? If not, how can we know freedom from a divided heart? So we want to see rapidly how to know freedom from a divided heart. Number one, purify your heart through repentance. We look at the book of James, freedom from a divided heart. We are looking at freedom from a divided heart. James chapter 4. In the book of James chapter 4, from verse 8, the Lord says, James chapter 4, verse 8 to 10, come to me, come near to me, and I will come near to you. Come near. When you come near to God, God come near to you. So there is a decision, I will come near to God. I am not going to keep my distance again now. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. He said, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. You person with a divided heart, he said, purify your heart. It is this purification of the heart, this deciding to come near to God, this washing of your heart, and that's what repentance is. He says, grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. Come to the Lord with mourning, with groaning, with fasting, with wailing. He says, come, purify your heart. He said, change your laughter to mourning. What does it mean to purify your heart? To purify your heart means to confront every single thing in your heart competing with God. Whatever idol is existing in the heart, whatever passion that are there in the heart that are competing with God, He said, uproot them out of your heart. That's the first thing if you want to be delivered, to know freedom from a divided heart. Number two, cry out to God to give you an undivided heart. You have repented from the things that are competing with God in the heart. In Psalms 86 verse 11, what does it say? Psalm 86 verse 11. The psalmist said, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. He said, give me an undivided heart that I may fear you, that I may fear your name. A crying to God, oh Lord, give me an undivided heart. So there's praying. And we saw Joel talking about it, James talking about it. Say, come to the Lord with fasting, with mourning, with weeping. There are moments you confronting the tragedy of your divided heartedness. You come to the Lord, you weep, you cry, you fast, then you cry out to Him. Having uprooted all that need to be uprooted, you cry to the Lord, Lord, I beg you, give me an undivided heart so that I may fear you. I have come near to you, but oh God, I have removed from my heart all the things that need to be removed. I beg you, give me an undivided heart. God will do it. He has promised every one of us. He said, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart. When the heart has gone wrong, a person should turn to the Lord and cry to the Lord, and the Lord will give him an undivided heart. That's number two. In number one, we say, purify your heart, repent. In number two, say, cry out to God. Number three, repent of the hypocrisy of being an eye servant. For many people, when eyes are on them, they serve the Lord. That's a divided heart. But there is always an eye that is on every one of us. Let's look at that from Colossians chapter 3. A person should repent and tell yourself, you are not going to be an eye servant. After all, is God not always see us? Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, from verse 17 to 23. It says, and whatever, from verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. In verse 22, it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. Do it, not only when their eye is on you to carry their favor, but with sincerity of heart, reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Are you employed somewhere? Are you carrying out a ministry? Are you rendering ministry to someone? Have you just received a portion of ministry in the church, and then no one may be watching at you? The apostle says, whatever you do, do it as you are doing for the Lord. You, in an office somewhere, work as if you are serving the Lord. That is one of the secrets to be free from a divided heart. Freedom from a divided heart. Tell yourself, you will not be pleasers of men. You will not be men's pleaser. You will be the pleaser of God, whose eyes are always on you. And the Lord is constantly not just looking at what we do, but equally looking at, we do it. What is the motive? We do it. Is the heart committed? We do it. Is it for ourselves or for His glory? Is it for the blessing of others or to make a name for ourselves? Freedom from a divided heart. Come out from the crowd. Be a man of your conviction and not a man who follows the crowd. The Lord said of Caleb and Joshua in Numbers chapter 32. Let's open there. In the book of Numbers chapter 32. We are saying, if you want to know freedom from a divided heart, be a man of your conviction. Take your stand. Stand on your conviction. Stand by your conviction. Don't be someone who follows the crowd. If need be, even if you have to die for your conviction, stand. In the book of Numbers 32, the Lord said about Joshua, because they have followed me wholeheartedly, Joshua and Caleb. Because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, the 10 other spies did not follow the Lord wholeheartedly. He said, not one of those who were 20 years old or more when they came out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. If you don't follow the Lord wholeheartedly, there are blessings that you can never enter into. You cannot satisfy the Lord. And Caleb tells us again in the book of Joshua, what was the secret? Why did he follow the Lord wholeheartedly? We are saying, if you want to know freedom from a divided heart, be a man of your conviction. Follow the Lord in all things. Come out of the crowd. Don't just follow the crowd. Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 to 9. Listen to what Caleb says. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelite who went up with me made the heart of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Say, other people brought the bad report, but for me, according to my conviction, speak out your conviction. Take your stand based on what is going on in your heart. Don't follow the crowd. So the secret is come out of the crowd. Stand by your conviction, and you'll be surprised what will happen. Take your stand. So the secret is separation from the crowd. Number five, if you know freedom from a divided heart, tell yourself you are going to obey the Lord totally. Make a commitment to God. Lord, I commit myself. I will obey you in all things. I am going to obey you totally. It's a commitment between you and the Lord. The person who set out to obey the Lord. But don't be a person who select what you should obey God in. That's what a divided heart is. If you keep the whole law and you go against one, the Bible actually says in James that you have committed or you have disobeyed all the law. Just tell yourself, I am going to obey the Lord in all things, no matter how difficult, whatever God has told me to do, I am going to do it. If you want to know freedom from a divided heart, commit yourself fully to the Lord. Commit yourself fully to somebody to serve the Lord through that, under that person, or to serve the Lord with that person, or to serve that person. In Christian service, if you want to truly know freedom from this divided heart, because most of the time, a divided heart comes because you want to make a name for yourself. And a servant has no person he wants to make a name for except his master. Commit yourself to the Lord and commit yourself to somebody that you will serve the Lord under. We'll look at that example from 1 Samuel chapter 14. It's an example of a young man. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6 to 7. Look, the armor bearer of Jonathan, verse 6, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, he was a young boy, he said, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from serving, whether by many or by few. Listen to what the young man said. The young man said, do all you have in your mind, his armor bearer said. He said, go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. Go ahead. That's a commitment. The same type of commitment that Elisha knew towards Elijah. The same type of commitment that a young man like Timothy knew towards Paul. For Elijah, he burned all his plow equipment and committed himself to follow Elijah till the end, and he became the next prophet. This wholehearted commitment. And for in this young man's case, the Bible says Jonathan moved ahead, was climbing, but the young man was right behind him. Finally, if you want to know freedom from a divided heart, lay your all on the altar. A divided heart is a life that does not know consecration. If you want to know freedom from a divided heart, consecrate your all, your life, whatever you are, consecrate it to the Lord. Whatever you ever become, consecrate to the Lord. Whatever you have, hand it over to the Lord. Consecrate your all. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Lay your life before the Lord on his altar and beg him to actually accept you. A life given to the Lord, and the Lord will test you like Abraham. There will be certain things about your life that your heart was attached to. It may just be one thing. For Abraham, it was a child called Isaac. And the Lord said, take your son, your only son whom you love. So the Lord may be telling you, Take that thing that you love, put it on the altar. Let it be there on the altar. Come, follow me. The question is, will you obey? If you obey, your life will never be the same. Freedom from a divided heart. If you know freedom from a divided heart, what will be the blessings? We saw earlier that a man like King Hezekiah followed the Lord wholeheartedly. It was a wholehearted devotion to the Lord. As we round up this sharing from freedom from a divided heart, let us end with that verse about this King Hezekiah. We are looking at the blessing of wholehearted commitment, the blessing of freedom from a divided heart. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31, open your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, the blessings of wholehearted commitment to the Lord, the blessing of total surrender to the Lord, the blessing of freedom from a divided heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20 and 21. He said, this is what King Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. He did what was good, he did what was right, he did what was faithful. And in verse 21, he said, in everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the command, he sought his God and he walked wholeheartedly. He sought God and he walked wholeheartedly. That's what freedom from a divided heart is, seeking God and walking wholeheartedly. He held nothing behind. He held nothing back. And because he held nothing back, the Bible says, and so he prospered. Success is reserved for anyone who follows the Lord wholeheartedly. Whatever you hold back, you are actually declaring before God that you have decided to fail. A divided heart is a failure before God. A heart that is totally committed to serve the Lord wholeheartedly is a success. You don't just succeed by what you do, you succeed by to whom have you surrendered all your heart. A heart fully surrendered to God is a total success. May the Lord help each and every one of us. May the Lord help you to know this freedom from a divided heart so that God can come and take residence and begin to use you to do exploit. And as he does exploit through you, you will not begin to share in his glory because you have surrendered all your heart to him, living for him. And that is what true success is. May God bless you.